Hey, welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads. So, it's It's July 26th, and we are going to be talking about some recent purchases. So, we got a House of Mystery 251. This is a dollar comic, 80 pages of all new stories. It has a octopus-looking creature getting ready to pull in what looks to be a father, and he's one of the tentacles is going after his two little girls, and it's by Neil Adams cover, and it says, "Your friends will hate you if you reveal the ending of Seven Chilling Tales Inside." We have Lizard Lady from Aerosol. This is... Every time I can pick up an Aerosol, I do it. Same thing with Avatar. Donna Mia pinup special from Avatar. Exposed, the erotic art of Al Rio, issue number 2 from Avatar. We got Sin Metal Sirens, number 1 from Eros Entertainment. And Sin Metal Sirens, number 2 from Eros Entertainment. We got Here Come the Lovejoys, number 1 and 2. These are adult only. Like on the cover there, it has three guys and one girl, and she's there and says, "Could you guys speed things up? I think my quiche is burning." Number 2 has Miss Lovejoy, please. I've talked to you about loitering in the produce aisle, and she's taking in a banana in her mouth. And then we got Rivalry in Hell. This is from Eros Entertainment. I think it's not numbered. It seems like it's got a bunch of deformed people, and they have a woman. Two women chained. And who knows what this is about. The wrenching story of a macabre atrocity that swept a fashionable girl's school with hell's blackest passions. We have Peter Cock. I can't tell what issue numbers these are. Number 1 and number 2. Looks like he's having a good time. We have Monsterotica, a dementia book from Eros Entertainment. We have Tricks, Sluts in Space from Eros Entertainment. So you can see I got a lot of strange books. These ones I really wanted. These are Raw Media Mags from Avatar, number 1, 2, and 3. And the original set came from the guys who do Splatter. I can't remember what their name is. But, you know, the Tim V. Hill guys. It's not North Star. So, this is it. Moving over to Avatar. And then getting back to the other comics, we have Superboy 167, The Adventures of Superman When He Was a Teen. Super Baby doesn't understand what he thinks is fun is destroying the world. The day Super Baby blew up the world, plus the Super Mammoth mystery. And Super Baby looks like he's blowing out the volcano and causing more problems than he should. We got Sea Devils number 27. There's a traitor in their ranks, and look what he's caused. Even the fish are frightened as the weird ray strikes the one-celled diatom, making it grow, grow, and grow. And it's got like a monster with two of the Sea Devils in the foreground. We have House of Secrets number 95. The Bride of Death, and it's got like ghost-like creatures trying to drag a bride upstairs. We have The Ravening, number one half from Avatar. And this is a adult cover. Sometimes they had more tame covers, but this one is an adult cover. We have Diary of a Donna Matrix. That one ought to be cool because I'm always fascinated with the Donna Matrix. That's from Eros. We got Bamba, the Jungle Boy, number 5. We got Punchy and the Black Crow. This is a funny book from 75 Center from Charlton Group, Charlton Comics. We got Showcase Presents. Yeah, the DC Showcase, the one that introduced The Flash. This is number 50, and it features I Spy, King Faraday. And then from DC Comics, we have Plop, number 2 and number 3. These are very weird humors. Humorous book from DC. And I have a few others, so I'll be right back. I'm back, and we have Hanna-Barbera Spotlight, Magilla Gorilla, Magilla in Space, plus a Snagglepuss story. We have a Showcase Presents Dolphin, number 75. This is the first appearance of Dolphin. I always thought I had that, but I didn't. We have, from Harvey Comics, Bunny, number 12. Looks like an 80-page giant. It's got Bunny dancing there in front of a fire, and they're wearing some indigenous clothing, and it says, "Hi, fans, watch this ultra cool Esmeralda act. While this Indian love dance makes me squaw, sue squamicious." Yeah, it's definitely not into for today's world to use those terms. We got Doctor Strange 177, Doctor Strange 172. This is a big one. Fantastic Four number 14 has the Submariner on the cover featuring against the Fantastic Four. At last we meet again, but this time on my terms. How much action, how much drama do you crave to be hand when the Submariner strikes? Undersea Monarch versus America's Greatest Superheroes, plus the surprise return of another former villain. We have Fantastic Four number 30. I think this is the first appearance of Diablo. This is a big purchase for me. I've been wanting this book for so long. Amazing Spider-Man number 50. We then get into X-Men number 20. The original series, X-Men number 90. Detective Comics 325. It's got Batman and Robin tied up and Catman is running away. Bye-bye, Batman. Too bad you don't have as many lives as Catman has. He's going right through the flames, but they don't affect him. From Hanna-Barbera, we have Laugh Olympics number 9. We got Doctor Strange 181. X-Men 67, featuring the Juggernaut and the Torch. We have X-Men number 34, X-Men 39, and X-Men 47, and also X-Men 52. Getting really close to filling that early run. A matter of fact, I saw somebody post X-Men number 1 for $3,000, and I was tempted. God, I wish I would do it, but that's a little too much now, but probably not another opportunity. And that was for good condition. So that's the recent purchases. And now, if I can get to my mail, I will bring up my questions and continue on with the questions from Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit. If you get a chance, give that show a listen. And let's see, I mailed myself where I left off. Will I find it? I don't think I get that much mail. What the hell? Why wouldn't it be here? There it is. Question five. It says, got to question five. So question six is, do you have any signed comics? If so, which ones are your favorites? I have a lot of signed comics from Tom Scioli. Got a lot of, much like the creators that sign it, it's mostly the creators I buy commissions from. I got some Peepoy signed books. I got some Kickstarters that are signed by Pal Miotti and Amanda Cotter, but I'm not much of a signature dude. I go to a lot of cons, but I don't take books with me to get them signed. If they happen to have something and are offering a signature for free, I will have them sign it. But if they're charging, I usually don't do it unless it's something really special. But yeah, that's where I stand with signed comics. I don't really have too much favorites other than the comics themselves I really enjoy. What's the most you've ever spent on a single comic book? Sheesh. Probably about $3,500. So that X-Men looked really tempting, you know, because that's in that ballpark, but X-Men number one, it would be sure to be nice in my collection, but it wasn't a good time. Have you ever attended a comic convention space since COVID? Yes, I went to HeroesCon last year, which was fantastic. And this year we're going to Baltimore. So, yes, I have, and I'm starting to go at least to one a year. If so, which are your favorite experiences? HeroesCon by far is the best Comic Con for comics. I must say, there's no celebrities, it's comics. Art, not, I mean, it has toys and stuff, but it's mostly for comics and Artist Alley and stuff like that. So if you're in there for comics, HeroesCon is one that you should attend. Baltimore is similar, but they do get into the Hollywood stuff a little bit and have more pop culture than Heroes does. San Diego's too much pop culture, but it's a hell of a lot of fun. Do you prefer physical comics or digital ones, and why are you wrong? I wonder if he's saying that because I'm going to say physical and digital is better. I don't know. Maybe that's probably why he's saying it. I prefer physical, just because. But as I get older, digital looks a lot more appealing just because I don't want to lift the shit or go find it. I could just pull it up on the iPad and read it. So I like it does feel refreshing to my eyes though to not have to read digitally, you know, like to read paper instead. It's definitely a different experience. Have you ever completed an entire series or run of a particular comic? Yes, many. I have almost every DC Comics in 73, so yes. And Daredevil, Defenders, X-Men is almost there. Captain America is a complete run. Fantastic Four is getting close. Thor's getting close. Spider-Man is getting close. I have almost a full run of Web of Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man. Moon Knight. I have everything Moon Knight ever published. Yeah, name it. I probably have it. So, I mean, there's some like Superman and Flash that I'll never have a full run, but man, I have it since a 12-cent forward, so it's pretty full run to me. Tomb of Dracula I'm working on right now. I have a full Werewolf by Night, a full Marvel Spotlight. Gosh, there's so much to mention. Which one is the latest? The latest one completed? I don't even know. Punisher, I think, is the latest I completed. Punisher Mini and Punisher Ongoing, first full, you know, the full series. I think I just needed like the last four, and they were expensive, and I finally got them. A full run of Savage Dragon. I'm working on a full run of Spawn. Yeah. What is your favorite comic book storyline or arc of all time? Jeez, that's a tough one. I've read so many goddamn comics, and I have a favorite every week, so... Slice of Life, True Story, Swear to God is my favorite. Story arc for superheroes. There's so many Defenders that are my favorite. The Steve Gerber written issues of Defenders. Savage Dragon, I absolutely love. The John Byrne Fantastic Four stories. I really like that. It's really what kicked me off into collecting. Crisis on Infinite Earths. Absolutely adore anything Superman, especially the Triangle era. But God, I just love Superman right now. Like, even the Golden Age Superman, I love it. Silver Age, give it to me. Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane. Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. I love it. Flash, I've liked until recently. So, Hard Traveling Heroes, Green Lantern, Green Arrow. Daredevil, Frank Miller run. There's just too much to name. Manhunter by, can't think of his name. Mark Andrako. I love that series. JSA by Goyer, Jeff Johns. Robinson, Starman by Robinson. So much to name. I could just keep going and going. I just love everything, so it's hard to ask me that question. Do you collect comic book merchandise, figures, posters as well? I used to. I have, like, I guess my favorite, I used to have my room back home covered with posters. They're all over here now. Used to buy a lot of posters. My favorite stuff that came from there is there was these cloth-based posters that were painted on cloth, and they're, you hang them by a string, and they were really nice. Have several of those. Those are cool. I collected toys almost the entire DC Direct line up until the last 2 years, maybe 3 years. And then I started to say, God damn, I have so many toys. I can't do it. I got to pick one thing, and that one thing's going to be comics. That's when I stopped getting DVDs and stopped a lot of things just so I could focus on space for comics. But recently on Amazon, they had Amazon Day and good sale. And I really like the West Coast Avengers. So I bought that West Coast Avengers set and then bought the Hawkeye to go along with it. So that was cool. I used to collect all different lines of toys. Dick Tracy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Star Wars, Star Trek, the Playmates, Mego, $6 Million Man, Battlestar Galactica, Army Men. I have all of it, everything. Big Jim's Pack. It's probably my favorite of everything. I love Big Jim's Pack. Have you ever found a hidden gem or rare issue in a bargain bin or garage sale? Boof. Not really. Garage sales, I don't usually go to. Antique stores are usually priced too high. Bargain bins, they're very, very rare over here, and it's all modern stuff. Like, you never could find. Well, I'll lie. At Heroes Con, there's this guy that does the $5, $10, and $20 boxes. And man, there is some Silver Age gold in those things, man. Like, I've gotten some really hard to find books from that vendor. What was that guy? It's called Tomorrow's Treasures. I don't know if the guy's still doing it, but he I know he doesn't go to Baltimore anymore. He used to go to Baltimore and Heroes, but he said Baltimore was always a lost one for him. So he goes to Heroes now, but yeah, I always drop like a fucking grand at his store because it's just incredible what I can get. Plus he's a nice guy, and his wife remembers me, and he remembers me from Chris Campbell because Chris Campbell used to shop there a lot. So yeah, I think that answers that question. What's your favorite comic book cover in your collection? I don't think I have one that I can point to that's my favorite. So many Jack Kirby things I can think of. I love some of the War Comics covers I've gotten lately. The perspectives on the wars, like the effort they put in drawing those seem like really amazing stuff. Like, it's just incredible detail, and I love the way they like change the angle of the shot in War Comics. Like, sometimes they're looking up, like the parachuters are coming down, sometimes the tank is sideways. Like, there's some good covers. Romance Comics has some beautiful covers by Buscema. I mean, it's just John Byrne covers are great. Can't point to any specific ones. The Defenders covers I love, just because to me the heroes are amazing. Like, Keith Giffen did some amazing covers, because Moon Knight was in Defenders. I bet you didn't know that. And Keith Giffen did some of the Moon Knight stuff, and it was fucking amazing. What is your favorite? Okay, if you could have any comic book superpower, what would it be? And why? Man, I would love to be immortal, because then I can read every single comic book ever published and buy every single comic ever published. And immortal / healthy, like just. And not have anybody want to slice my head off like in Highlander, you know, so there can be only one. Not that kind of immortal, but I could be like a Vandal Savage, but just a guy like that likes a lot of comic books. That would be such a good power. The only thing that would really hurt with that is to see your loved ones pass. Like, that would just, you know, they play with that in those movies and stuff, and that would be really tough. Like, you would just keep seeing it over and over again, and you never get used to it. We've had dogs pass and family members pass, and you always say, well, it'll be easier this time. And it never is. It never is. But having infinite health, and then you wouldn't have to pay health care insurance, and I could retire. That would be sweet. I could be on an infinite retirement. Or I could just work. It doesn't matter. You could try different occupations throughout the ages. You could try things I never did before. That I think that would be a cool power. And I think that answers all of the comics for fun and profit questions. So I should be back with Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm going to skip the previews because I need to listen to my own podcast and find out where I left off. And I had so much, all the books that I purchased here came from Aaron Myers. There was a lot. I do have two keys on hold for me. Tomb of Dracula, number one, and Amazing Spider-Man, the first appearance of Morbius, which I've always wanted. So that one will be coming next. But I think I have some books that I need to count. And a lot I need to write down from last week because I didn't do it. I was lazy. I didn't read a lot last week. I read maybe 10 books plus a lot of online comics from the 90s, which was Avengers, War Machine, Iron Man, and Forceworks. That's an interesting story. I had posted that I started The Crossing, and man, I had some people that I really talked to and care about, and then some people that I never talked to before comment on it, and a lot of them were like, don't waste your time. And all I can say is, I'm glad I wasted my time, because I'm enjoying the fuck out of it. And it could go to shit as I wind down, and I'd still be happy that I read it, because I've always felt this way. Like, Bill is like a brother to me, but if he tells me I'm not going to enjoy something, I will always try it anyway. Like, I don't listen to nobody, and I'm fortunate enough that I can not listen to anybody for most things. Like, I can read stuff and try it. In this case, it was, while I own all of Forceworks and most of the Iron Man, and this was the 90s, the mid to late 90s, I was not buying like I buy it today. It's more practical. And I was always a DC fan and an Image guy and a Valiant guy. So when things were getting cut, it was Marvel, man. So a lot of the stuff that I missed in the 90s was Marvel stuff. And it's odd because you got all these artists trying to mimic, you know, some of the Image creators that went out. And it's just wild artistically. And I think it's a lot of fun just to experience it. Some of it's pretty wonky, but it's good wonky. Like, I'm enjoying the fuck out of it. So if you have stuff that your, you know, friends say, don't waste your time, I say waste your time. Try it, you know? You don't know. Nobody knows you like you know you. And sometimes even they'll lower you. Maybe they lowered my standard so much that I'm enjoying the fuck out of it, instead of like saying this is the best thing ever, and then your expectations are so high, and then you read it and it wasn't worth that. So I don't know what to say about that, but I will be back with once I've totaled this stuff. So wait for me and we'll talk. All right, I am back, and we'll just do 1 week this week. Let's see. What did I watch? I watched Trigger Warning. That was on Netflix. That was a Jessica Alba action film. I gave that a 3 out of 5. I enjoyed it. It was filmed a lot in the dark, the action sequences, so because it has to do with the cave. Like, she comes back and her father's killed because there's like gun smugglers using the cave. And but I was entertained for sure. I hadn't seen Jessica Alba in a movie in a long time, and this was a good action. Netflix has some good shit, man. I really still am impressed. I've been on the Netflix kick lately, and I keep on it. The 4 out of 5 was Damsel, another Netflix one. That was about a dragon and a princess. That was really cool. Sort of like a failing kingdom. The princess goes to marry a prince in another kingdom. And it's for money, basically. So the kingdom that's struggling is going to get a lot of money out of it. And you learn that they have like this blood pact with a dragon. And you'll see how that all turns out. That was a good story. And good effects, I thought. Gray Man, that was really good. That's an action adventure on Netflix. About a guy that was in jail that gets recruited to be a secret agent that nobody knows about. Like those kind of ops. And that was a good movie. Featuring the guy that's in The Fall Guy. I can't think of his name. Gosling. Ryan Gosling. And it had Captain America and Torch. What is his name? God damn it. Evans. Chris Evans. He's the bad guy, actually. And Billy Bob Thornton was in it, too. We got Chips. That was a 4 out of 5. I finished season 1, and now I'm into season 2. And even my wife's into it. God damn, this... I love Chips, like nobody's business. And if it was a good time, I'd probably fly out to Buffalo to the Nickel City Comic Con and just get my picture taken with Ponch and John because they're there. I'd be like Chris Farley. You remember that time that there was a girl, the naked girls volleyball team, and you pulled them over? And they were coming out of the car all naked, and you guys just stared at each other? Remember that time that you were the Ponch, that you were with Vampire Elvira? Yeah, there's so many shows to talk about from there that it's just wonky stuff, man. Drugs. Like, I just saw one episode where a frat house was smuggling weed and it caught their van on fire, and Ponch and John arrested them and they went in front of the court and they got a year suspension from college, plus they couldn't be part of the frat, so they were seeking revenge on Ponch and John and playing awful tricks on them and almost getting people killed. It was crazy, but God, I'm just so entertained. I love Chips. If I could take a property like Chips and make it a comic book and have 100 readers, I would totally do that. Like, if I had infinite resources, I'd make a Chips comic and publish it somewhere, even if nobody would read it. Because I just love Chips, and I think I could think of some great stories with Ponch and John. 7 Mary 3, 7 Mary 4, you know. 7 Mary 3 is John, and 7 Mary 4 is Ponch. So, yeah. The 5 out of 5 was The Bear Season 2. Absolutely incredible. We had a total of 39 comics, 36 Marvel, 1 Dynamite, and 2 DC. Wow. This was a blood hunt week, that's why. We have X-Men Red, number 18. I finally finished X-Men Red. I got into it in early issues, but I never really bonded with the characters at all, except for like Storm. There's some side characters, there's Sunspot and some other ones that were interesting, but the new Martian characters, it didn't faze me, and I couldn't name one if you paid me. Like, you know, say, if you can name one of those characters right now, I'll give you $100. I couldn't do it. I also finished the Marauders second volume. I really liked the Marauders first volume. The second volume I wasn't too crazy about. Actually, I don't know if I am done. I read 9 through 12. If I understand this correctly, the Marauders are back. Every mutant lost on Genesia. Back to look. They brought back... I don't know what my note says. Brought back every mutant lost on Genosha back to life in the past. Oh, that's what I meant. Is those they somehow did like this time thing where they were able to keep those people alive that died on Genosha, but it was in the past. We have Venom 33. This is a tie-in to Blood Hunt. Those are all 3 out of 5s. And Venom is probably one of my least favorite Blood Hunt tie-ins. And it's kind of all over the place. Like, I'm not too happy with Venom right now. I am going to ride out, but I'm not going to get Venom War or Venom Verse or any of that. I'm just going to stick to the main title and see how it does. But it's dealing with Dylan. He's getting attacked by vampires, and Eddie is in this weird zone, and he's separated from the symbiote, and he's trying to find another symbiote, and he sort of mounts himself to Lee, which was a bad person that the symbiote bonded to in one of the volumes. So that's what's going on in Venom, and now they're in the Venomverse, which I'm just so tired of so many Spider-Men and so many Venoms and so many Batman characters and so many Superman characters. The one thing I wish is we're in this mode right now where there's just so many, and I wish there'd be a culling, which would just like take things back to basics and give me one Robin and one Batman and just keep it simple for a while instead of having these extended families. That the Superman family is like ridiculous right now. It looks like they can rule the world if they wanted to. I don't know. It's just one of those things. While I enjoy all the Superman books, there's just so many characters. You got Jonathan, who's old. You got the China Superman. You got Supergirl. You got Power Girl. You got Superboy, Connor Kent, and you have the two kids that they got from War World. You got Steel. I could just keep going on, man. It just keeps going. I'd rather have like a Steel comic book where he's like not in the Superman world and somewhere else dealing with stuff, and maybe a Connor Kent that's where he's not part of the Superman family and he's off doing something, instead of having them all intermingled. It seems too big all the time. We have Witchblade 33 and 34. I've started with one and moved my way through it. And Irons, this is a 4 out of 5. So now I'm in the 4 out of 5. So we have Irons betrays Gavin after his outburst, and he gets arrested while being sexually beaten in leather outfit. I remember that. Sarah tries to find out more about the death of her father and tells the story of Siri to her sister, who is now a video sex worker, and the Witchblade is taking over. I actually think I am enjoying the later issues of Witchblade than I was when it was, 1 through 10. We got Gold Key Alliance. This is Solar, Dr. Spectre, Mighty Samson, Turok, and Magnus, Robot Fighter. I'm enjoying the Gold Key characters by Dynamite, and wish if it succeeded, because I could use a monthly title for sure of any of those characters. I would be all in if they did that. I was all in while Dynamite was doing that. We have X-Men Jubilee number 1, Blood Hunt. This was Jubilee kicking a lot of vampire ass, and you got to remember that she was a vampire. So she teams up with that vampire organization that she was part of. It's weird. The X-Men Blood Hunts are kind of like done in ones where it's just an X-Men, usually a female X-Men, just kicking fucking ass on these vampires. Black Panther, Blood Hunt. Black Panther was bitten, so he's kind of like in this surreal world where he's trying to fight for his soul. That one's really good, and the artists on there, phenomenal. We got Doctor Strange 15 and 16. That's a Jed McKay book. That one's been really interesting. And Doctor Strange is a big character in Blood Hunt, and he was infected. So you see how all that plays out. And it ties really well with the Blood Hunt. We got Helverine, not Blood Hunt. That is Dokken, who died and is now brought back with the spirit of vengeance. So you got a Wolverine with a Ghost Rider combination. It is pretty good. It's really well done. Benjamin Percy. Got Incredible Hulk 9 through 13. Again, this is Hulk and Banner protecting the little girl, kind of in done in ones. With a monster of a week, but those monsters of the week are really across 3 weeks or 3 months. It's been a really good run for sure. We got Blood Hunters that focuses on Cloak and Dagger, or Dagger specifically, Alisa Bloodstone, and I can't remember some of the others. That was really good. We got Blood Hunt 2 and 3, the main series, Wolverine Blood Hunt 1 and 2. That's been very entertaining. Avengers Blood Hunt. That one's really not a Blood Hunt. That's the Avengers title, number 14 and 15. That has been really good, and the roster is fucking amazing. It's got Captain America, Hercules, the young Hawkeye, Hazmat, Quicksilver, and I can't remember the other one. But it is, oh my God, it's like, everything I want in the event. I want this team to exist with the same writer, Jed McKay, doing it, rather than the team that Jed McKay came up with that are on that satellite. Yeah, this the team I find way more interesting, fighting vampires on the ground. Strange Academy Blood Hunt number 1 and 2. This is fantastic. I feel like I've neglected a lot of Strange Academy. I need to, not that I've neglected it as in not purchased, but just not read. And this was really good. Dracula Blood Hunt, that deals with Blade's daughter and Dracula as he's trying to recruit her to kill her father. Midnight Suns Blood Hunt, that's the Johnny Blaze and all the different Ghost Riders and how they're affected by the vampires. And that ties into Blade 2. You got Union Jack, the Ripper, Blood Hunt number 1. That is a Union Jack story, which is real. The number 1 was really good. Number 2, I wasn't as crazy about, but number 1 kicked all sorts of ass. And in terms of horror vibe, Union Jack had the biggest horror vibe, I think. What did you think? Amazing Spider-Man, Blood Hunt. Oh, I love Amazing Spider-Man. That was really good. Amazing Spider-Man 48 and 49. That was one was a Blood Hunt tie-in. And then one was not. That was really good. We have Zero Hour number 0. That was the final issue of Zero Hour. And Parallax. And the new status quo for a lot of characters, for sure. X-Factor number 8, Freedom Force. This is the original X-Factor, Volume 1. Freedom Force finds out Rusty is somehow in the X-Factor and go after him. Skids manages to save him, drawn by Silvestri. We have Tomahawk, number 1 of 35, which is really Son of Tomahawk. I have not read much Tomahawk outside of Challenge, Crisis, and other books, but this issue was a great issue about him going on his own with a friend to find gold, a story of betrayal and doing what is right, and also a story about Kirby's Raiders bank robbers. That was really good. That story was a high 4 out of 5 because of those stories. They're just great. Rampaging Hulk number 4. That one I don't own, but was reading that digitally. The Hulk causes an avalanche on a boy and his father, and Bruce and the Hulk save them to find out the dad kidnapped his son because he lost custody to his wife, so he was arrested. Gamma Base gets a visit from a major, and he believes they should just shoot Banner, and the FF gets involved. We have X-Factor number 7. This is X-Factor is posing as a mutant honey organization. When they go, they're attacked by Glowworm and Bulk, which are two radiated mutants. Jean finds out about Madeline Pryor. They help the two mutants escape, but can't help them because of their radiation. They can't really be near them, so they kind of just, they're screwed. So it had no 5 out of 5s, but a ton of 4 out of 5s and a couple 3 out of 5s. And the one 5 out of 5 was the Bears Season 2. Maybe that could be the logo for the episode. So I want to thank you for listening. Please let me know what you think. Do you want to see all my rankings on the show notes as requested by a new listener? Would you be interested in that? If I hear back from enough people that would use it, I will gladly do that. Also, please send me questions. My email now is mikemyersbrunch@gmail.com. And reach me on Twitter at mikemyersbrunch or on Blue Sky at mikemyersbrunch. And I want to thank you for listening and putting up with me on this little comic book diary, and make sure to read more comics and enjoy yourselves. It's always good. I was a really stressful week. I'm winding down now with the podcast and then going to start to read some comics. Call my family to see how they're doing before the weekend. And tomorrow we're going to see Deadpool. So I hope you enjoy your weekend like I will. And we'll see you soon, next week, hopefully. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.